What's that noise?
I think that's a swing.
You mean a polling swing?
Or a pendulum swing. Yeah, let's go with that.
I'm Heather Brocken.
I'm Yaroslav Baran.
Welcome to the swing. Hey, Yaro.
Hi, Heather.
So, can you explain why the polls have changed so dramatically?
Well, there's a number of reasons why we've seen such a dramatic shift in the polls. First of all, we've got to remember that Justin Trudeau personally had become a significant drag on the Liberal Party brand. And his departure, or his announcement on January 6th that he's departing, was a significant alleviation of pressure against the anger that Canadians felt against him and the Liberals. So it was like a burden was lifted and the Liberal Party brand could finally start to rebound a little bit. That's an important part of it. It was a personal thing with Justin Trudeau. Secondly, you know, the Liberals just went through a leadership race, and there's usually a natural polling bounce for every party following a leadership race. There's a lot of coverage. Most of it is, you know, basically non-critical media coverage, which really amounts to free advertising. So it's a pretty normal thing to see any party have a bit of an uptick after a leadership race. Third, Mr. Carney has been blunting the conservative message, or trying to, by adopting or partly adopting their policies. For example, on the carbon tax or rediscovering pipelines, GST relief for first-time home buyers, eliminating the capital gains tax hike that the government had promised, an income tax cut, stuff like that. So he's really trying to eat the conservatives' lunch and not leave them any policy space to be different. And fourth, probably most significantly, the ballot question has shifted. It is no longer a cost of living election. It can still shift, but right now it's looking more like a who is the best champion to defend Canadians against the menace of Donald Trump and his assaults on Canada.
Okay, so let's just rewind a little bit. What do you mean by the ballot question?
Well, this is electioneering jargon. Like, during an election campaign, a lot happens. It's 36 days of tours by party leaders and a whole bunch of policy discussion about all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the day, on election day, people will walk into the polling station, they'll walk up to the ballot booth, they'll take their ballot in the hand, and what is it that they're thinking about at that moment when they're filling out their election ballot? For each person, it'll boil down to one issue, like cost of living or frustration over this or whatever it may be. Every campaign tends to have one dominant issue that motivates and drives voters on that critical day.
The zeitgeist of the moment.
That's it. It's the collective zeitgeist of the Canadian public for that election.
Okay, so that brings us to the elephant in the room, which is the icon for a certain party south of the border. So how did POTUS 45 change this election?
POTUS 45, yeah, it's like gangster talk, right? You're using the code. Yeah, look, Donald Trump has had a significant impact on this election. When he was inaugurated at the end of January, he came in swinging. He instantly started to threaten Canada with a trade war. The trade war is now already underway. We've got a number of tariffs already imposed on Canada. And he also started to make political comments about annexing Canada, about Canada becoming the 51st state. And that's got people's backs up. We've seen this resurgence of patriotism across Canada. We've got Buy Canadian movements. We've got Boycott America movements that are organically spread up. So people are feeling very differently. It's an existential sentiment out there, and it's palpable. And, you know, I'll compare it to COVID. During the pandemic, there was an external threat. People felt that it was beyond their personal control. They couldn't do anything about it. And so people took refuge with the governments that they had, supporting them, hoping that they would do the right things. And as a general rule, in Canada, in our provinces, and internationally, there was this phenomenon of incumbent governments getting reelected left, right, and center during the pandemic. Then after the pandemic, it was the reverse. The acute crisis is over. Now you've got inflation, you've got supply chain disruptions, you've got all kinds of economic problems, labor market problems, and so on. And there was a general frustration that governments weren't doing a good enough job handling it. And so the general rule was incumbent governments were getting thrown out.
Yeah.
In Canada and internationally. So
they wanted a change.
They wanted a change. They felt that, you know, they felt that they needed something different.
Yeah.
So when we have an external threat, like we're facing now from Donald Trump, it seems to be somewhat analogous to the pandemic. There's an external threat. There's nothing you personally can do about it. You're hoping that the government has your back. So it's sort of like hunker down, batten the hatches, put on your comfy sweater, your old running shoes, you know, anything that gives you comfort and familiarity. So that's probably factoring in here. People kind of defaulting to the government that they have, protect us, because at least we know you, and we're not going to take any more risks because there's already too much uncertainty out there.
So it's stability. Where, I mean, this sounds like an antidote to the chaos and calamity that is being bombarding us from our neighbor.
Yeah, that's exactly it. At a time of instability, people default to whatever stability they can find.
So, okay, so you're saying that the ballot questions have changed what we're seeing. Like, there's been a polling change, and it's swinging in favor to Mark Carney. Does that suggest he is the person to take on this issue? Has a die been cast?
Well, it's far too early to come to that conclusion. We're not accustomed to polling changing quickly or dramatically between elections. It's usually very slow shifts over a long period of time. But election campaigns are precisely when people tune in, they really pay attention, and that's when you can see very quick, very sudden fluctuations in public support for different political parties. So we're only, you know, we're only at the very beginning of this election. There's still a month to go. A lot can still happen. Campaigns do matter. And I'll also point to a couple important case studies. 1984. You had a pretty similar situation to now. The Liberals had been in office for some time. The government of Pierre Trudeau had become deeply unpopular. He recognized that. He stepped down, and the Liberal Party elected John Turner, the next gen, you know, the hugely popular savior who's going to resurrect the Liberal brand. And you know what? As soon as he assumed the leadership of the Liberal Party, they bounced right back in the polls. They were very competitive again. And Liberals were saying, hey, right, you know, this is going to work. We're going to win the next election after all. But by the end of that campaign, they crashed and burned. The Conservatives ended up winning. And at least up until that point, it was the biggest landslide election in Canadian federal electoral history. So when your time is up, your time is up. You had a good run. It's time for a change. Voters tend to see that all the way through. And you know what? The same thing ended up happening 9 years later, 1993. The Mulroney government had been in for 9 years, but he, by the end of it, had become deeply unpopular himself. He was an anchor dragging down the Conservative brand. So he stepped down. They brought in, they elected Kim Campbell as the new leader. And the same thing happened instantly, a rebound in the polls, a lot of excitement again. Hey, we're competitive again. She was even flirting with 50% in the polls. But then by the end of the campaign, same thing as 1984. They crashed and burned. They were nearly wiped off the map. They were down to two seats. They lost party status. So the lesson in these two case studies, which are very similar to what we've just seen with the end of the Justin Trudeau government, is that normally when a government is past its natural life cycle, when it's time to throw the bums out, voters usually end up actually throwing the bums out in the end.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of democracy. We understand what's healthy for our political system, and that is change every now and then. If it ain't working, you know, fix it. But I would say that in those two case studies that you mentioned, Yaroslav, that the one other thing they had in common was they each ran a pretty bad campaign, and it was theirs to lose. Which brings us to this election campaign. Pierre Poilievre has been leading in the polls since he became the leader of the party and the official leader of the opposition. So it feels like, is this his to lose? Like, what's the dynamic at play here?
Well, right now it's not anybody's to lose. The two front-runner parties are like precisely neck and neck within margin of error, basically, in just about all the public polling. The difference here is that Mr. Poiliev is a highly experienced campaigner. He's done this time and time again. He knows how to run a campaign. He knows how to pace himself. He knows how to be disciplined and make sure that the party stays on message and they're not putting out different messages to different audiences and so on. He's very good at this. He's done it many times before. Mr. Carney, not only has he not run a national campaign before, he's never run even a local personal campaign. This is his first time running for anything, really. He ran the leadership campaign, he won it, and now immediately into an election campaign. And election campaigns are far more complex than leadership campaigns. So this is the first time we're really going to see what he's made of in terms of campaigning for public office.
Okay, where does Jagmeet Singh fit into all of this?
Now, that's been a hugely, hugely interesting phenomenon. When the Liberal leadership race started, the NDP wanted Mark Carney to win. They saw in him somebody who's going to pull the Liberal Party back to the center, vacating, so they thought, a whole bunch of space for the progressive, capital P progressive voters to coalesce, arguably in their natural home, the NDP. But it hasn't been working. We've seen a collapse of NDP support. In fact, the supporters that the NDP did have even previously under Justin Trudeau, half of them have since left the party and gravitated towards the Liberals.
So what about Quebec?
Something similar has been happening in Quebec. Back in December, it looked like it was shaping up to be a contest for official opposition. In terms of seat projections, the Bloc Québécois and the Liberals were basically tied, both poised to win like 40-something seats. So the Bloc was doing really well, but then following the departure of Mr. Trudeau and the inauguration of Donald Trump, the same thing started to happen to them that happened to the NDP. Their support started to fall, and some of their supporters, quite a few of their supporters, drifted back to the Liberals. And the reason for this is probably, squarely, Donald Trump. He poses what many perceive to be an existential threat to Canada. So it's not going to be an election where voters think, well, I'm going to vote with my conscience. I've always been an NDP supporter. We need a strong NDP, or Bloc Québécois for that matter, to be, you know, the conscience in Parliament. No, people are looking at this thinking, holy, holy smokes. Like, this is big. We need a champion. We need a Captain Canada to protect Canadians from this menace. It's going to be either Poiliev or it's going to be Carney. So I'm going to vote for the person I want to be championing Canada's cause at this critical existential moment. It's not a party. It's not an election that leaves space for third parties.
We're going to see soon, and it's going to happen hard and fast. So that's a wrap for our first podcast.
Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Yaroslav.